Good day, everyone, and welcome back to Dreams Warp, the podcast designed to awaken you to a new reality. For today's episode, you know what day it is. It's Tuesday, and that means it's time for Tuesday Taoism. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode. Hey all, before we get into this, I just need to allow a quick word from a sponsor. Thanks for your patience. All right, let's go ahead and get into this. My name is George, and if this is your first time here, first I want to say thank you for checking out the podcast. The purpose of this podcast is to explore the mind and the depths of consciousness that create it. Ultimately, the podcast is here to help you gain a sense of mastery over your reality and your life through mastery of the mind. So if that's something that interests you, you have definitely come to the right place. And I'd like to say that if you are enjoying the content of this podcast, I hope that you will consider sharing it with others. That's a wonderful way to support the podcast. We have a few series here on the podcast. We have our Tuesday Taoism. We have our Zen stream on Sunday. And then I do try to throw in an extra episode once a week on another topic, something related possibly to mental health. That is my background. I've been a psychotherapist for about 16 years now. So we cover things like mindfulness, meditation, healthy living, exercise, relationships, dealing with emotions, mental health problems, basically anything and everything that helps you reach your goals, achieve your dreams, and just live an overall happier day-to-day life. So today being Tuesday Taoism, we are going into the next chapter of the Tao Te Ching. For those of you completely new to all this, Taoism is based on a book that was written 2,500 years ago, give or take a few hundred years, called the Tao Te Ching. And it's a book of just amazing, insightful wisdom written in ancient China. And it's, you know, there's debate over who wrote it. Most people say it's written by a single hermit who lived in China during that time. He was a keeper of like records, I believe. But others have said that it was actually written by a collection of, you know, wise men, women, I don't know, really. I wasn't there 2,500 years ago, so I can't say for certain. But I do know that when I first discovered this book as a teenager, it had a tremendous impact on me, and I return to it every few years and reread it, and it's always, always impactful. And again, just full of amazing tidbits of wisdom that I feel help me in my daily practice. So I created this a series in the hope that it would help others out there as well, and got a few people listening out there. So I'm very, very grateful for that, and I hope that you are also getting something out of this, which I have loved doing so much. So I always say it every week, must sound like a broken record to some of you, this book has been translated hundreds, if not thousands, of times. And I say that because even if you pick up two English, got stuck there for a second, two English translations by two different authors, depending on their interpretation, you will get very, very different, basically, results. And you could test that out. The book I'm reading from, the translation I'm reading from, is by a gentleman named Stephen Mitchell. This has been, of all the ones that I have read, this has been my favorite, someone that I usually come back to. But there are others that I have read that are also very good. So you can kind of, you know, check it out, what's available, and see what you like best. But let's go ahead, get into this. We're up to chapter 66, and I'm going to read it, then talk about it a little bit, and hopefully we get something good out of this for our practice today. So this is chapter 66, Tao Te Ching, translated by Stephen Mitchell. All streams flow to the sea because it is lower than they are. Humility gives it its power. If you want to govern the people, you must place yourself below them. If you want to lead the people, you must learn how to follow them. The master is above the people, and no one feels oppressed. She goes ahead of the people, and no one feels manipulated. The whole world is grateful to her because she competes with no one. No one can compete with her. That's the end right there. shorter, on the shorter side, right? Now, what really jumps out to me from this particular chapter is humility. That's really the theme that I'm hearing, right? Where it's written here, all streams flow to the sea because it is lower than they are. Humility, he says it directly right there, gives it its power. If you want to govern the people, you must place yourself below them. If you want to lead the people, you must learn how to follow them. So again, we see this pattern, right, that we see often in this book is paradoxes, right? So, and then that's kind of like, I'm sure that's not the first time you've heard that, right? If you want to be a good leader, you have to learn how to follow. But again, a little bit of paradoxical stuff there. And I really like also these lines where it's written, she goes ahead of the people and no one feels manipulated. The whole world is grateful to her. And then because she competes with no one, no one can compete with her. Now, humility is a subject that is near and dear to my heart. Not to say that I practice it perfectly. I don't know, you know, when I try to look at myself objectively, which is, you know, automatically pretty impossible. I feel that there is always room for growth when it comes to the subject of humility. But I have heard some things said about humility that I try to practice, you know. And one of my favorite things that I've heard about humility is, you know, it's humility is not about thinking less of yourself, but it's about thinking of yourself less often, right? And that's my favorite definition, I think, right now, of humility. And it basically, I feel that one of the best benefits of humility, of practicing humility, not talking about humility, but practicing it, is that very thing, is thinking of yourself less often. Because I think, again, speaking for my own experience and a lot of people that I've worked with in therapy, you know, I think generally speaking, okay, I can't say everybody, but generally speaking, we have a tendency to become very obsessed with this concept of ourselves, right? Well, my dreams, my wants, my desires, my, you know, my this, my that, my this, you know. And I've even worked with people who could get in trouble for saying this, but are almost like addicted to this therapeutic process, like constantly wanting to dig into themselves, learn more about themselves, discover more and more patterns, talk more about, you know, their experiences from their past. And they get, and this is referred to a little bit in for example, like Eckhart Tolle's book, where he talks about you know, not needing to understand all the complexities of the mind in order to be free of the mind. Is that many times when you go deeper and deeper and deeper into the complexities of the mind, you can sometimes just get lost in them, and you're just kind of like a rat chasing its own tail, right? You're just going in circles and circles and circles. And eventually, we must actually, in a sense, get over ourselves, right? And realize that there are a lot of, you know, relatively speaking, I mean, in ultimate reality, we are all one consciousness, but in a relative reality, there are many other individual people around us that are suffering, that need help, that have it much worse off, for example, than I do. And I find that for myself, it is extremely, extremely therapeutic to put down all my ideas of self, all my self-obsession, and completely focus on someone else's issues for a while. Maybe that's part of why I became a psychotherapist. You know, although when I was studying, I wasn't thinking that way. But maybe, you know, unconsciously or subconsciously, that's part of what was going on. But what I do really like, and when this again, this concept of humility, and when I think of leadership, of effective leadership, one of the things that I really admire in a leader is, I think, a good leader, a great leader, is I think a good leader or a great leader doesn't really see themselves so much as a leader. They see themselves more as someone who is serving others, a large group of people. so they don't approach the role of leadership as, I'm in charge and you need to do what I say, and right? It's more like, I'm here to help the masses. I'm here to serve you. How may I serve you? So instead of I'm the leader, I'm the servant. How can I help? What can I do, right? This is what I think is pretty clearly being transmitted in this chapter, right? As he goes through the description and he uses the metaphor of the sea and the streams, and he talks directly about humility, and he also talks about how the whole world is grateful to this, what's the word he uses? The master, grateful to the master, because she doesn't compete with anyone. She doesn't take any effort to make herself stand out. According to what we read in the Tao Te Ching, one of the subjects that often comes up is aligning yourself with the Tao, right? Which could be somewhat roughly equivalent to aligning yourself with Source, aligning yourself with God, aligning yourself with, you know, the highest aspect of ourselves, whatever, you know, terminology you want to use. But we're talking about this idea of alignment with that which is, you know, most true to ourselves, most true to the function of the universe. This would be alignment to the Tao. And one of the things we hear a lot is that the Tao never calls attention to itself. Never, right? The Tao is like, he's often describes it as pure emptiness, right? It's the emptiness out of which all things are born. Now, let me pause here for a quick second, allow a word from a sponsor, and we're going to talk about another aspect of humility that I think is important also to talk about. Just bear with me a moment. All right, thanks for your patience. I am back. Let me just take a moment here and remind you that if you ever want to reach out to me to ask a question, make a suggestion, express a concern, or if you have an idea for a future podcast episode, you can always email me at elucidatetherealatgmail.com. You can also hop on over to the YouTube channel by the same name, Dreams Warp. Find any one of the videos, doesn't matter which one. Just post a comment under it, say, hey, I just heard your podcast, had a comment, question, concern. I get notification right away, and I could respond to you over there in the comments section. You can also find me on Twitter. I recently started a Twitter account by the same name, Dreams Warp. You should follow me there too, because I do post things regularly, retweet things also that I think serve as nice reminders to focus on your practice, focus on your breath, focus on the present moment. So make sure you follow me there to get that good stuff. And finally, if you are enjoying this content and you were listening to this on Apple Podcasts, it would be really nice if you could take a moment and just leave a nice rating and review. That really helps the podcast as well. All right. So all that being said, we're talking about humility. Not only the practice of humility in the sense that it almost seems a prerequisite for quote unquote advancing spiritually. I say that sarcastically. Or, you know, being seen as someone who is a spiritual person or a good person. But aside from all of that, okay, which is relatively not all that important, what it really does is it brings us more into alignment with the Tao, which is what I was just talking about a moment ago before the break. And another thing that it does is this ties in a little bit with some Buddhist concepts. And delving here a little bit into some Zen and some Nietzschean Buddhist type concepts is we return to this idea of interdependent origination and the delusion that we are separate in the first place, right? So again, for those of you who haven't been here for previous episodes, the interdependent origination theory basically means that nothing in this universe that exists as it currently does came to be just by itself, right? Nothing is separate from anything else. It's a long series of causes and effects. And so I view it in my mind as like this, you know, vast tapestry of a weaving together of causes and effects, right? Over this vast universal consciousness. And we are, you know, basically each one of us is at a crossroads between cause and effect. So at the same time that we are an effect of previous causes, We are also creating causes that will lead to future effects, and it's an ongoing stream, right? So this stream, this perspective that our experience, our lives, our reality is nothing but a stream arising and falling of different phenomena, including ourselves, our thoughts, our feelings, our behaviors, people we encounter, relationships that we have, all of these things constantly rising and falling. No one of them exists independently. They're all connected to things that have happened before, and they're connected to things that will happen in the future. Again, speaking here relatively, because ultimately everything is happening now. The only reason it appears as past or future is because of the way our brains are operating. So we operate within this illusion of time, even though in ultimate reality it is not real. But again, I have to speak in relative terms here, otherwise none of this stuff is going to make any sense. So the point is that interdependent origination tells us that we are not separate individual entities, right? We are all connected to one another, and we are all connected to all causes that have happened in the past. We're also connected to all future effects that are now being caused through our thoughts, through our actions, through our behaviors, all one consciousness, just going on and on and on, spreading through different causes and effects. And so when we return to this idea of humility, I believe we are taking a more active practice, or it's a basically, how am I trying to say it? I'm getting stuck here on words. It's basically an action-oriented way of the conceptual, of the concept of humility, which basically means, what I'm trying to say, is that the more we realize that we are connected to others and that we are all one, then just by definition, us individually is not as important. It's not as, oh, I'm so special, I'm this, I'm that, I'm you know, the most important thing in this world. No, not really, right? We're all one consciousness. So this practice of humility is not only aligning us with other things that we discuss, like the Tao, like Source, like God, you know, whatever, again, whatever word you want to use, but it also, by practicing humility, we are also living closer to the reality that I was just describing, the reality of interdependent origination, the reality stemming from the idea that we are a small cog in a large consciousness type of wheel. And we help by helping others, right? We actually align more with that universal energy, which is more focused on the totality as opposed to the one, right? Us as individuals. So it's a kind of a, it may be a little bit of a different take on humility, but I think it also applies. I think it's also part of the practice of humility, and really being able to not just think of humility conceptually, but to be able to take that concept and turn it into a living reality, to see it around us. I remember years ago, I don't remember exactly who said this, where I heard it, where I read it, but I know I heard it or read it somewhere. Is somebody was talking about the idea, I guess it's sort of almost like an extreme form of mindfulness, and they're basically saying that when you are completely focused on an activity, or you are completely focused on something that you are observing, right? Maybe that you're seeing or you're hearing, or maybe I often, you know, make the reference to like a master musician playing an instrument, that they're so lost in the act that self completely disappears, right? Or if you're observing, another good one, if you ever look into the face of your child, right, and you just look and look and look and look, you lose yourself. Suddenly your awareness becomes nothing but what you are looking at. In those moments, you have that ability to actually be completely free from the self. And how are you doing that? By basically having your awareness completely on something else, right? Something that is not you. And this tells us that our awareness is completely and totally free. It is not attached to this body. It only feels that way because we think of this body so often, because we're constantly giving it so much attention. So just some ideas that come to me as I read this chapter. I hope that they help you today, again, in your practice. You, again, feel free to reach out to me through those methods I mentioned a little bit ago, if you so desire. Stay tuned. I'll be back later this week with another episode. And I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your day.